Amen. I'm not going to be long by any measure or means on today. But when I, last Sunday, I talked from the subject, Be Like Christ. And I made mention of the fact that that's what a Christian is. The word Christian means Christ-like. So I want to kind of talk a little more about that on today, but in doing so, I want to encourage us today. I really want to encourage the church, the body of Christ. So I want to call your attention, as we stand out of respect for the word of God, to Acts chapter 11, and I want to focus our attention, for the sake of our scripture reading, on verse 26, Acts chapter 11. Verse number 26. Amen. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. When you find it, say amen. Read this way. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I want to talk today from the subject, the characteristics of a great church. Amen. The characteristics of a great church. My brothers and my sisters, as I go to and fro and I listen to the discussions of others, as they talk about the church, their concept, their understanding and belief about the church, I come to realize that their understanding of the church is in error. Because many times they base greatness, how great a church is, the criteria that they base the greatness of the church is what's basically in error, because they base the their criteria is based on how big the choir is, or how loud the choir sings, or how well the choir sings. But that's no criteria to base a great church upon. There are certain characteristics that the Bible bases the greatness of the church, the characteristics. And I want to say to us that we've got to abide by what the Bible says. It doesn't matter about our thoughts and our opinions. What's important is what God says about it. And so that's what I want to talk about today. The church at Antioch has all of the characteristics of a great church, because first of all, it is the first great Gentile church. Now, Paul, the apostle, had a ministry to the Gentiles. That meant that his ministry was basically to those who were not Jews. And so you and I would fit into this category, being Gentiles. We are Gentiles in that we're not Jews. But then secondly, this church, Antioch, is the first time and the first place in the Bible where people were called Christians. And again, that word Christian means Christ-like. So if you say, I am a Christian, what you're saying is, I am Christ-like. When other people say you are a Christian, what they're saying is that you are Christ-like. You're Christ-like in your behavior, you're Christ-like in your manner, in your conversation. You are Christ-like. The text says, in verse 26, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So this church was a great church because it had all of the characteristics of a great church, and it had a great influence on other churches. It was not a church with just one special emphasis, but it had all of the characteristics of a great church. So I want us to see what those characteristics are, what those characteristics were. Because look, I want to encourage us today, because sometimes we can easily become discouraged by us not having a musician. And we feel sometimes that if we don't have a musician, then we're less than a great church. And I come today to tell you, musician ain't got nothing to do with whether or not a church is great or not.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Musician has nothing to do with how great a church is or how great a church is not. Amen. And so we have to abide by biblical standards. So what is this about the church in Antioch that I say that this was a great church? Well, it was a great church, number one, because of the value they placed upon the preaching of the gospel. It was a great church because of the value they put on the preached word. Amen. Of this church in Antioch, we read of an emphasis on preaching. In Acts chapter 11, verse 19 is the expression, preaching the word. Bible churches must preach the word, not the philosophies of men. Now, if you want the church to be a great church, let it be a preaching church. Can I get a witness? And you are the people who want to hear the preached word. If I'm right, I'll say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Here is a church at Antioch preaching the word. Amen. In Acts chapter 11, verse 20 is the expression preaching the Lord Jesus. When they met together and one stood to preach, that preacher exalted, he preached about the Lord Jesus Christ, he magnified Christ, and lifted Christ up. And so a great church is a church that expounds the word, a great church that magnifies Christ, that lifts the Savior up. And Jesus said, and if I be lifted from the earth or from the world, I draw all men unto me.
Amen.
And so Jesus was the central theme of all of the preaching of the church in Antioch. And I come today to say there must be preaching to have a great church. A friend of mine, back just this past June, a few weeks ago, we were at the National Baptist Conference of Christian Education, and myself, our evangelist, Dr. Gaffney Smith, Pastor Sampson from Jacksonville, Florida, my pastor, C.L. Backus, and Jesse Bottom from Gibson, New York, and Marvin E. Wiley, Pastor Rock of Ages in Chicago, or Maywood, Illinois, where we were in a discussion. And so Pastor Wiley said, well, y'all, 3 years ago, he said, I fired my choir. So we don't have a choir right now. Because I fired the choir, because they thought that the worship was all about them. And I wanted them to know that this church is not built on singing. This church is built on the preaching of the word of God. He said, so I fired the choir. And for 3 years now, we have had no choir. Because I want them to know, and I want them to understand that this church is built on preaching. Amen. So I said that simply to say that to be a great church, we've got to put value on the preaching of the word of God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, the reason I'm putting emphasis on this is because some churches don't even want preaching anymore. They say, well, preaching is outdated. So we much rather have the choir sing than have preaching. And they demonstrate that in their actions and attitude. When the choir's up singing, man ain't in it. They in it. But then when the choir finally finishes singing and sit down and the preacher get up, some people till now.
Yeah.
Or some people at that time go to sleep every Sunday when the preacher get up. And then have the audacity to say things like, well, Pastor, the sermon was boring. And that's really why I went to sleep. Y'all, we got to put some value on the preaching of the gospel. Can I get a witness? Because it's through the preaching of the gospel that people get saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, 15 said, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So the church at Antioch was a great church because they put value on the preaching of the gospel, on the word of God. And so that's one of the characteristics of a great church, is they value preaching.
Amen.
They don't go to sleep during the preaching. They don't leave when the preacher starts preaching. Some kind of way it becomes, you know, we lose all our enthusiasm when it's preaching time. Why is that? Because the singing of the choir is not what's going to get you through in tough times. When the doctor says you got to have some major complicated surgery, it's not the drama ministry that's going to get you through that difficult time. But it's the word of God that says, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You need that word in your life. That's one characteristic that makes a great church. Another characteristic that makes a great church is that it's a people who reach out to others trying to get them saved. In other words, we got to care about people to the point that they are saved. This church in Antioch was a soul-winning church. Verse 21 says, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Verse 24 says, and much people was added unto the Lord. Now I go so far as to say that the body of Christ, the church, it is our responsibility to win others to Christ. That's all about us. So, you have that. What we have to do is ask ourselves, when was the last time I led somebody to Christ? When was the last time we had the baptismal service in church? How many people did we baptize in 2018? How many people did we baptize in 2019? You know, when we have church meetings, We spend all our time talking about how much money we brought in, how much money we paid out. We spend all that time talking about this, talking about that, and haven't said one word about how many folk got converted or how many folk went down in the water. That's the real business of the church. But we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about folk getting baptized. We don't want to talk about folks making a commitment to Christ. That's the real business of the church.
Amen.
Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Now I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to encourage us. So don't be dismayed because the musician's gone.
Amen. All right.
Amen.
Ain't got nothing to do whether or not the church is strong. That ain't got nothing to do whether or not the church is great. Then, another characteristic of this church in Antioch that made them so great was that they talked to people.
Yes.
They talked to the congregation. They talked to membership.
Yes.
They talked the word of God and nothing else.
Amen.
Verse 26 says, a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people.
Amen.
Now look, church, we got to be taught.
Amen.
Problem with some of us, the reason why we don't do no better is because we haven't been taught.
All
Sometimes we haven't been taught, not because the preacher hasn't been teaching us. Sometimes we haven't been taught because we're not listening.
That's right. That's right.
Sometimes we haven't been taught because we refuse to come and receive the teaching.
That's right.
Amen. You ought to come to Bible class. Now, we live in a day now where there's a lot of technology. And I know sometimes some of my friends never have Bible study at the church nowadays. They be in their office or in their home, and they have a camera, and technologically send the lesson out while he's sitting in his house teaching the lesson. They can be on Facebook getting the lesson anyway. But and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a great use of technology. I would even go before to say that might be something that I could do if I couldn't make it. Maybe I was out of town and couldn't quite make it in, but I had a very special message that I still needed to teach. That might be a good way to do it that way. But I would suggest to us today, that's no substitute for us not having Bible class together. See, there's so much more that we can get when we are together than we can get when we're not together. Amen. Can I get a witness? Amen. And so they taught the word of God. They went a whole year, and some of themselves with the church, and taught much people. Church, we got to be taught the word of God. That's what makes the church strong, is the teaching that we receive. And then us, those who receive the teaching, taking that teaching and applying it to your life. And that's where growth comes in. That's where maturity comes in. That's where you become more disciplined by receiving that teaching and applying it to your life. And you know, I think it's terrible for anybody to say they've been in church for 50 years and they more mean now than they were when they first came in.
Right.
And nobody should ever admit to that, because that's terrible. We be thinking, we saying something. Girl, I've been in church 50 years, but I'm worse than I was. You ought to be ashamed of that.
Yeah.
There's nothing good or positive at all about something like that. You ought to be willing to say, 50 years ago, I was immature, I was a novice, I was young in Christ. Lord, thank God I'm down the road now, baby. I may not be where I ought to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
That would make the church great when you're growing in Christ. But y'all, we want to blame not growing on other people. Nobody else is responsible for your growth but you. You are responsible for it. You got people in church. You're not no strong, no great church if you got members in that church saying, I'm not being fed. That's a bad negative thing to say about your church. I'm not being fed. Now, nobody in New Cornerstone, listen, I know I'm right. Ain't nobody in the Cornerstone say, I ain't getting fed. Now, you might have said, I ain't eating. But you can't say me ain't getting fed. That's a bold face line. Hard line work. I know that's a lie. Anybody in the church who say it to another person, the person that somebody said to, you ought to be able to tell them, I know you're lying, girl. I know you're lying, man, because I get fed every week. We let folks just push us around. We let folks put stuff in our own mind that ain't in there. We let folks put stuff in our heart that's not in there. And it dilutes the strength of the church. In this church, in any of them, they didn't mind giving of their resources. Because look, I'm saying to us, you and I, we ought not mind giving them our resources, because guess what? It ain't ours in the first place.
Amen.
Everything we have, God blessed us with it.
Amen.
This church was a giving church. The Bible says In verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. And I like the fact that it said every man according to his ability. See, God gives all of us a certain ability. And that ability first starts with our time. Because every Christian ought to give his or her time, and for everybody, it's the same. It's a 10. Now, my 10 is different from your 10. Your 10 is different from the next person's 10, but it's your 10. You ought to at least give the time. I'm talking about great. So I want to tell y'all something. I always talk about, if you can't be here on Sunday, you know, send your tithe or mail it or go online and give it. Just look at all the time I got this week. These are people who are not here, but have left their tithe.
Amen.
I know the corner's on the great church. Amen. I want to show you that just to encourage other people. If you know you're not going to be here, you can still make sure that the church goes on by making sure your tithe is here. Thank God for these members of my church who mail their tithe. Some mailed them, some sent them by somebody else, but they made sure that their tithe was here. And so I already know that we're going to have a good day. Because these people make sure, along with those who are here, make sure that the tithe is here. Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. They put value on giving. But then not only that, this church in Antioch put value on talking to God. They communicated with God. They prayed. This was a praying church. Acts chapter 13, verse 3 says, and when they had fasted and prayed, church, I want to know, are you praying? Do you talk to God? Now, I want to say that we're not necessarily real strong as it relates to prayer service. People coming out for prayer. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. I mean no harm now. Please don't nobody take offense. If we have prayer service from 6:30 and then Bible study starts at 7, we have two or three people that's here at 6:30. But you got 20 people here at 7 for Bible study. So the emphasis, the priority is low. We place a low priority on prayer, but a greater priority on teaching. But prayer ought to be a priority also. Now one reason I think sometimes that some people don't come to prayer service might be because they're afraid that maybe somebody might call on them to pray. But y'all look. Don't be offended by that or afraid of that. You don't have to pray. You can pray in your spirit. But you ought to at least come to Bible. You ought to at least come to prayer service. I'm talking about the characteristics of a great church. Great church know how to pray. Amen. Well, let's go in prayer. You know, great church know how to go down in prayer. And then last, and then I'm done. A great church, and particularly the church in Antioch, was a church that was together. They were united in purpose, and they were united in spirit. We don't need people to talk about another member of the church. Let's never do that. Never let nobody speak to you and say hello, and you don't say hello back. Never like that. Never like that. over to somebody, and then that person, you know, give you, you know, just turn your neck up at you, or their nose up at you. Don't, that ain't nothing. There's nothing good or positive about that. If somebody says good morning, say good morning back.
Right.
If somebody says I'm so happy to see you today, say I'm happy to see you too. All of these attitudes that folk have in church.
All right.
What? You, and you say you like Christ? That ain't like Christ. You know what that's like? That's like Satan. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
If we're to do the job God has called us to do, we must have church harmony. There's no mention of strife in the church at Antioch. There's not. There's no mention of strife. There's no sowing of discord. There's no confusion. Look what the Bible says. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Man, when there's unity, man, there's fellowship. And I like that. I love fellowship. I love it. But there's nothing Satan, the devil, likes more than to bust up a church.
Mm-hmm.
The will of God is that churches dwell together in unity. The churches dwell together in harmony. When we come to the Lord's house, man, we ought to come full of love. If you see me down, you see me with my head down, come to me and say, "Hey, Pastor, what's wrong? You look down today. Lift up your arm down here, Pastor. Whatever you might be experiencing, whatever you're going through, it's gonna be all right."
Now that's fellowship.
Can I get with it?
Amen.
Well, some people look that high. Good point. Good for you. Ain't nothing crazy about that. Can I get a witness? One who claims to be a Christian should treat other Christians like they are brothers and sisters in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Because church, y'all, we're not forgetting. If we're going to be like Christ, now let's take a look at Christ and then I'm done. Look at it. Well, let's look at God first. The Bible says, "For God so what? Loved the world, gave the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God so loved the world, he sent his Son Jesus. He died for the world. He died for all of us. He did not say, "Hey, son, Samuel Sykes, I really had something special for him, but don't die for him. Don't die for Virgil, because Virgil, he didn't do right. Don't die for him. But where did that for Jerry Watson? But don't die. Well, Al changed. Because Al thinks he can beat everybody bowling. I don't like that. So don't die." He didn't do that, did he? But he died for all of us. And they buried him and put him in a borrowed tomb. And early Sunday morning, he rose from the grave and said, "All power in my hand, and he's available to all of us. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's Christ. That's how we ought to be. We ought to be like that. Now, who you want to be like? Do you want to be like Christ? Or do you want to be like Donald Trump? Because Donald Trump goes around talking about he's nice to me, and when he's nice to me, I'll be nice to him. But if you're not nice to me, I'm going to be nice to you. Do you want to be like that?
No.
Y'all know he likes that, don't you? But be like Christ, who died for all those who like him and those who think him. He died for all. So look, I want our church to be great. It's not based upon how well the choir sings. They really ain't got a whole lot to do with it. It ain't based upon who's on the keyboard, you know, who's on the piano, who's on the organ, who's on the drums. It ain't about all that. But what value do you put on the word of God? What value do you put on the teaching of the word? What value do you put on prayer? What value do you put on harmony? What value do you put on your giving? That's what makes the church great. So that means we're great if the musician comes, if the musician don't come.
That's right.
Great.
All right.
We're great if the choir feel like singing the thing, if the choir don't feel like singing, we're still great. I just want to encourage us, y'all. I just want to keep us up. Now, don't y'all be falling off talking about we ain't got no music. Yes, we do. God put melody down in our soul. And guess what? We can bring it up whenever we get ready. That's what I love. We can bring it up whenever. When I hear Isaiah Jackson, he got a peculiar voice. Y'all may not know that. But when the men be singing and you hear his voice is peculiar because it's a little higher pitch. That's music, boy, I'm telling you. Bring it up whenever you get ready. He ain't got half on no music. OJ got some melody down in him now. He can do all of that. I heard Nikki's voice. Very peculiar. When the choir was singing, hers stood out. And I focused in on it for a while. Music. But wasn't nobody playing nothing. But yet it was there. I want to be a great church. I want our church to be great. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. God keep you. Amen. The church is open. There may be someone here. Man, woman, boy, girl. You're here without Christ in your life. Jesus will save your soul. He'll make you whole. Invite you to come.